gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. It's State of the Union Day. Whee! Listen, Chris, you and I got our buzzes harshed horribly. You know me, debate night is a big night for me.
I know.
I open a special box of wine. It's a whole thing.
Yes.
NBC, what are you thinking? 9 o'clock. They didn't air until 9 o'clock on the West Coast. We were long sleepy time away.
Yeah, I don't know what NBC's problem is, but they tape delayed it on the West Coast.
I was, yeah, they tape delayed it. We're screwed.
Yeah.
But I saw clips, so I'm up to date.
NBC made a really, really poor decision by tape delaying it because people live tweet these things now.
Right.
That is promotion for NBC. It's promotion for the Stephanie Miller Show because I do it. And they I don't think NBC understands how debates are
Get with it, people. It's live.
Watched.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
In America now.
Thank God for me. 5 o'clock. West Coast is the State of the Union tonight. All right, 7 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. We have Representative Tammy Baldwin of the great state of Wisconsin coming up. Charlie Pierce, another big show. All right, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Look, everybody's playing these days.
Yes.
Kate writes, Staff and Chris, my lovely and talented partner has a lot of time on her hands and also obsessed with your show. My two favorite things in a person.
Yeah.
We even came to L.A. to see you back in October. We'll be coming to Sexy Liberal Tour in Minneapolis this coming May. Attached, you'll find a jingle. Everybody's doing it now. Mitts Make Your Own Jingle Day.
It's a little more than a jingle.
It's all right. It's a promo.
Hello. Oh, hiya, Sandy. Well, yeah, I'm going to the Sexy Smeller Lover Comedy. Yeah, I'm going. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you don't say.
I've been waiting for you to come back since you left.
Yikes.
Listen up, sexy liberals.
Mama is back.
The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming back to Minneapolis,
a.k.a. the Twin Cities. I know what some of your big city, no bra wearing, hairy legged sexy livers might say about that. Oofta.
May 12th, 2012.
Sexy Liberals, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Stephanie Miller.
Live at the State Theater.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a good time, don't you know?
Aw, that's so cute. Look at everybody can make a promo these days.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. Thank you. All right. So, I guess, what do you call it? Gingrich was a little more subdued last night. Romney... a lot more aggressive. He's unloading on Gingrich.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the problem is, honestly, in my opinion, Chris, they're both spectacularly flawed characters. They're both so awful in their own ways that it's hard to... The problem is, they're both right. Boys, don't fight. You're both right. The other candidate is both... You're right. They're both spectacularly flawed.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney, it's tax release day. He pays exactly what you and I pay, $3 million a year.
Huh?
Oh, that's... And I think the bigger issue, don't you, is the Cayman Islands. Because this is... he's the perfect storm candidate for a year of the We Are the 99% and income inequality being the biggest. It is not... anybody is saying, you know, is jealous of his success or...
Whatever.
This whole thing. It's about paying your fair share. How are you paying your fair share if you're parking a lot of your money in the Cayman Islands, which is a tax haven, so you don't pay your fair share?
Right.
I know because people go, oh, $3 million a year, that sounds like a lot of money. Well, yes, but look at what his income is. That's the whole problem, is that he's not paying his fair share. Mm. In fact, I believe Mike has graced us with a little Cayman tonight.
The sound of the surf, the smell of the salt air, complete lack of taxation for residents and businesses. Yes, the Cayman Islands has it all. Right now, Romney-Ossety is offering a special cruise to the Caymans. Invest $40 million or more and get complimentary drinks, free shuffleboard, and free laundering of your money. Sign up now at Romney-Ossety. Come to the Cayman Islands.
Come to the Caymans and hide your cash.
Offer void where prohibited, inconvenient, or embarrassing.
For Pete's sake, I can't pay my fair share.
Yeah.
Yeah, that night. And, by the way, Romney, completely right about you're a lobbyist. Lobbyist.
What? Yeah.
I mean,
what historian makes $25,000 a month?
And I got to say, Gingrich looks so shifty.
Yeah.
When Romney was coming after him with the, it's like, oh, give me a friggin' break. You are a historian. What? They were frankly paying me for my knowledge of history, including a history of Washington. That's a lobbyist.
Yeah.
History of Washington. Oh, please. I mean, really. Romney, of course, has been ratcheting up the heat on Gingrich for days. Yesterday he pulled out the flamethrower. Hi, Jim. Thanks for coming. he said he's not too erratic, a pinball machine who will bring an October surprise day and decimate the Republican Party as he does. Yes, but shush about it. He didn't just have questionable ties to companies like Freddie Mac. He engaged in wrongful activity. Mittens.
Oh, dear.
Mittens bringing it. Mitt Romney last night. On
but is it entirely legal and fair? Absolutely. I'm proud of the fact that I pay a lot of taxes.
Not your fair share.
No.
I think he just thinks we'll be hypnotized, Jim. But look how much money it is.
It's a lot of money.
It's more money than you'll ever make in three lifetimes I paid this year.
It's like 13%, which is even lower than the low figure he
gave. I knew it was going to be lower than what he said.
Yeah.
I say 13? I meant 11.
I said around 15, something like that.
Yeah, some multiple of 5. Maybe it was 5. I don't remember. But it's more money than you'll ever make in your entire lifetime.
But you know what someone was saying, too? The other reason not to do the multiple returns? Because I bet you there's back years he paid nothing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like a lot of corporations. Yeah, hell to the yeah. Mark in Chicago. Hi, Mark. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Mama.
How are you? Good, baby.
Good. Hey, I just want to let you know that I just got my tickets for the Sexy Liberal Show in Chicago.
Yay! They're going like crazy, I understand. You better hurry for March 3rd. Yeah, yeah.
I know it. I'm so excited. I'm bringing my mother.
Oh, my God.
Can you do me a huge favor?
Yes.
Try to convince Hal Sparks to take off his pants.
Oh, to take off his pants. Well, you know, listen, they're tight enough that you can pretty much see all that business anyway. But
I know. I've been looking for years.
Yes. Well, you know, if you want to see Hal Sparks pantless, just, you know,
Google it on the web.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go on the internet.
I have all the seasons of Queer as Folk already.
Okay.
I know. I bet you do.
Actually, if you can convince Robert Gant to come out.
Who's that?
I would love you forever.
Who?
Robert Gant. He was the one that played the lover, the Michael Glover.
Yeah,
his partner.
His partner. We're not the clearinghouse for all things.
All right, I'll get right on that. I'll go looking around Hollywood for him. Hmm?
Actually, I think he works out at our gym.
Oh, yeah, all right.
I've seen him there a couple of times.
Okay, that's my new mission. All right. Jim, were you up late enough to see the debate, or?
I watched part of it, and then I...
Really? You're up that late?
Yeah, I know. Mm. It's crazy. Mm. And then, of course, this morning, first time ever, I left my card key in the car, so I had to run back and
get it. Yes, yes. Our
front door and...
Ultra-secure building we have here.
Hmm.
All right. By the way, the President's State of the Union tonight, the big event, and we already have a Republican being a douche nozzle before.
You lie!
Did you hear that guy? Mm-hmm. It's not even going. So now the President not even getting the respect of someone showing up to call him a liar at the State of the
Union.
Really?
Wow. I haven't heard this.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
What kind of producer are you?
But
it's the guy who called President Obama a tar baby. That guy.
Oh, that guy.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doug, it's not, I'm sure, at all racially motivated at all. Doug Lamborn, he's of Colorado.
Mm.
He's going to ditch the State of Union as a protest.
Hmm. Of what?
Because like John Boehner, he must already know in advance that it's going to be pathetic, so he's not even going to show the office of the presidency the respect of even showing up at the State of the Union.
Hmm. Hmm.
He's not from Colorado Springs, by any chance, is he?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
What are the odds?
That's the
asshat part of the state.
Home of the noted Crystal Methodist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ted Haggard.
Denver, really nice. Boulder, really nice. That place?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? It's not near the bay.
Well, sure. You want to avoid freeways that go through that part of the state. Clearly.
That's where the Air Force Academy is, too.
Yes, right. Yes, I know.
Mitt Romney, last night at the big debate.
I had incoming from all directions, was overwhelmed with a lot of the attacks, and I'm not going to sit back and get attacked day in and day out without returning fire.
Why?
From my years in the military, I can use phrases like incoming
and returning fire.
I watch the military channel. It's almost like having been there.
Well, I'm not going to take this. I don't ever let the help speak to me this way. I don't. Don't you get that sense from him?
Yeah.
He's a CEO. I'm not used to what?
Yeah.
I'm
not used to people
ruffled.
Asking me questions.
I don't understand this. Why are you... I'm getting lip. I'm getting back talk. All right. So lots more crunchy audio goodness.
They brought me hydrangeas.
I hate hydrangeas. What did I say? In my rider.
I'm allergic to anything natural.
Yeah, they're two. Can I just say, I just think two really spectacularly awful candidates.
Yeah.
They really.
Yeah.
Because he was actually on point about everything about Gingrich. The more you listen, you're just like, yeah, he really, his record is really just awful. Like, it was how we started this, going, Newt Gingrich? No way. Really?
Him?
That guy?
From the 90s?
The historian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Romney just nearly unpalatable. Just because he's just there's a story about you couldn't in some ways have two more opposite candidates. You know what I mean? It's just he's too perfect and Gingrich is too spectacularly flawed. They're just.
I was once spit out by a great white shark. Apparently, they don't like plastic.
Exactly. It's exactly it. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Back with more crunchy audio goodness from the debate last night as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for
Stephanie Miller?
Wow, Freddie Mercury's voice is higher than I remember.
Yes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Representative Teddy Baldwin from the great state of Wisconsin after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mondo in Jacksonville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mondo.
Good morning, Mama. How are you?
I'm good, baby. How have you been?
Oh, I'm as giddy as a little schoolgirl, Mama.
Why is that, baby?
The Republican freak show. I mean, debates are coming to town on Thursday.
Oh, they're going to be in Jacksonville?
Right. That's right.
Yes.
Another debate? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, he's had Mittens. You know, you wouldn't like Mittens when he's angry. He was,
I'm peeved. I'm nearly missed.
Mittens was ruffled last night, Mondo. Did you see that?
I didn't watch. I just can't bear it.
Yeah. It's what is it? What are we now? 17, 18? How many debates is this?
I think that was 18.
Oh.
I think it's more about 250.
That's what it seems like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just gotten to be like a knockdown drag out now between like Mitt and what do you call it?
The historian.
Yeah, historian guy.
The historical revisionist.
Whatever.
Oh, and don't forget Santorum and Ron Paul were there, too. But
oh, whatever.
Nobody ever
okay.
Nobody heard from
Mittens
them.
Last night.
At a very time when Freddie Mac was getting America in a position where we'd have a massive housing collapse, you could have spoken out aggressively, but instead you were being paid by them. You were making over $1 million. At the same time, people in Florida were being hurt by millions of dollars.
He just looks so shifty, Newt. He's like, he doesn't know what to do when he's not, like, race baiting or attacking the media or the moderator. He's just like, shut up, frankly. Because everything Mitten said was true, I have to say.
And at the end of 4 years, he had to resign in disgrace. In the 15 years after he left the speakership, the speaker has been working as an influence peddler in Washington.
No!
No!
Say it ain't so.
Yeah, and then Gingrich didn't. He just said, oh, all that wasn't true. And it all was true. He didn't really address it. He just said, let's not talk about that.
Shut up, Frank.
He just said at least four things that are false. I don't want to waste time on them.
The
American public deserve a discussion about how to beat Barack Obama.
What?
The American public deserves a discussion about what we would do about the economy. And I just think this is the worst kind of trivial politics.
Really?
Telling the truth about what I've done.
Telling the truth about your entire record is not fair now. Just don't look over there. Look over here. Let's not talk about that now. That's not worth our time. Apparently no question is worth its time. Not his horrible lack of any kind of moral values or principles.
I've got stuff to do, frankly. Stop bothering me with details, frankly.
But he seriously has. He's been completely corrupt personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? That's just not important now. Let's not even, I'm not going to dignify that.
But the president is a Muslim Kenyan, frankly.
Yeah.
See the birth certificate.
Joe in Utah, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Guys, keep me going on the road here. I'm over-the-road truck driver, and I love your show.
Oh, awesome. Could you honk your horn for me?
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah!
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, I feel good, too.
Okay.
The Cayman Islands thing, you're right, to some regard, but I think I heard some interesting conversation. The Cayman Islands are a haven for people doing criminal activity, and I would question, if I had a chance, what criminal activity have you been doing that causes you to put your money in the Cayman Islands instead of in a U.S. bank like the rest of them?
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. Who is it? I have this headline here. Hang on. Carry the forward about it. But, in the U.K., they're actually calling for it because, it's a British territory.
Right.
They're calling to have it shut down, basically, as a tax haven.
Yeah. Mm.
Hang on.
Well, they also need to look at Bermuda, too. Bermuda is a British territory, and people put their money in Bermuda all the time to escape taxes here in the United States.
Yeah.
Stop talking. Shut up. You're ruining it for everybody.
So I think a British problem is going to look at Cayman Islands. They also need to look at Bermuda.
Yeah, they need to watch every John Grisham movie that's been. Yeah, I have it here. So I'll find it in a second.
Oh,
all right,
dear.
Let's go to Jason in Niagara Falls. Hello, Jason. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey.
How you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good, good. My wife and I were upstairs in our bedroom watching the Republican debate last night. No other more appropriate place to watch a Republican debate than in bed.
Right.
But, we were thinking about Mitt Romney and the uncanny similarity to the 1980 sitcom The Small Wonder. Being a little robot girl, and we were thinking, if you ever won the nomination and got into the White House, which closet would they plug him into?
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. All right. I can't find it. I have it here somewhere, for God's sakes. What did I do with it? Oh, God. Well, that's basically the story, is the U.K. Is talking about shutting. Because even they're saying it's not fair to have,
simply not all.
U.K. or United States
it's
citizens avoid... paying their fair share of taxes in their own country.
Right.
All right, Nudie at the NBC debate.
Let me be very clear, because I understand your technique, which you used on McCain, you used on Huckabee, you've used consistently, okay? It's unfortunate, and it's not going to work very well, because the American people see through it.
I'm not really sure about that, Nudie.
Yeah, no.
Not really sure. Yeah, although you have to say, it does look a little desperate, because it's just... the headline is Romney's 24-point swing. Mm-hmm. This has been a pretty...
dramatic.
It's been a pretty dramatic reversal. And Mittens is scared. He has a sad on. Oh, noes.
He has a sad.
This makes him sad, this whole thing. Yeah, it is pretty stunning. A week and a half ago, this is from the Daily Caller, Romney's victory to the Republican primary near inevitable to be locked up in South Carolina, and then everything changed. All told, Romney's lead has diminished by 24 points. Yikes.
Yeah. Wow.
Looking at his largest lead, 25 percentage points, in a Fox News poll from the days following New Hampshire primary to his most recent numbers would show him with just a 1% lead in the Gallup poll.
Wow. I've got Newt exactly where I want him.
Newt and Mitt are basically at a statistical tie for first place. That's nationally. The change comes instead from Gingrich's volatile poll numbers in a Fox News poll. He was at a mere 14%. He has steadily climbed. The latest Gallup poll has 28, having doubled his share of the vote. So it's... you can't tell from state to state. In South Carolina, like we said, I don't know what it was. Attacking the media, the race baitings, something.
Yeah.
They were saying last night, it seemed like Romney was much stronger in the debate. Gingrich last night.
And I just think this is the worst kind of trivial politics. There's a point in this process where it gets unnecessarily personal and nasty, and that's sick.
When you start pointing out things that I've done, actually. That's not the...
I think both
when
of
you point
them,
out that you've been the most personally nasty of any candidate ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both of them were thrown off their game last night. It wasn't a strong performance from either one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just, that's what I mean. I think everybody's like got a little just shell shock from the twists and turns in this race. All right, lots going on in Wisconsin. Representative Tammy Baldwin joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Planet in the name of
Stephanie Miller.
Isn't that lovely?
What's Neil Cavuto doing on this show?
Oh, thanks, Neil. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, speaking of awful things on TV, we will later get to the horribly earnest pro Scott Walker anthem that someone put on YouTube.
Oh, wow. It's...
Oh, boy. All right. And now to delightful things from Wisconsin, Representative Tammy Baldwin of the great state. Hello. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Well, I'm delighted to join you.
There's so many exciting things happening in Wisconsin. 1 million signatures to repeal Scott Walker, and you're running for the Senate.
Indeed. There are lots of things to celebrate in Wisconsin, even in these difficult times.
Now, this, I have to say, you know, hyperbole aside, you know, words get overused, but this is unprecedented. 1 million signatures to recall Scott Walker. I mean, that to me is unprecedented backlash against what he's doing.
Unbelievable. I mean, we have a high bar already for recall elections in the state. It requires 25% of the number of people who voted in the last gubernatorial election. Well, we got to essentially 50%. It's incredible. But that really shows how many people were lining up to say that anybody who misleads the voters during a campaign and isn't honest about their real radical plans for the state should be held to account. And I think that's what you're seeing in Wisconsin is, you know, everyone sees our Wisconsin values under attack, and we're not going to take it quietly. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, as I say, we were there. We started the first Sexy Liberal show there. It was the first cause we gave to were the recalls. And even back then, I remember, you know, the right wing dismissing it like, oh, that's never going to happen. And oh, they're just, you know, a bunch of thugs bitching, you know, remember all that. And I thought, I was there on the ground and you could feel the energy and the enthusiasm. And I mean, I don't know what you think.
Yeah, it was a real cross section of Wisconsin, and people took humor in being called union thugs, and you know there were grannies wearing union thug buttons, and but you know there was a knitting circles that broke out in the Capitol, and you know just it was just really a whole spectrum of people, you know, a lot of grandparents who really cared deeply about the future of their grandchildren and their state. It was workers of all stripes, a lot of people, you know, just concerned about the fact that we have a governor who really deceived the people when he first ran and didn't talk about the radical agenda that he was going to push forward. And when it came, people were just aghast.
Well, I mean, and I think, you know, Madison certainly, it's a tipping point. I think Wisconsin, a swing state. I'm feeling good going into this election year. How about you?
I am too. I mean, we have never seen this level of engagement, and voters are animated, they're informed, they're participating. There's not going to be any spectators this time around. They're all, you know, people are going to be involved. And so that is, you know, the first thing that I draw hope from. But I think also people are much more aware after this last year of the truly historic firsts that have come out of our state that we're proud of that are under threat and siege right now. People aren't going to let that happen. And also people in this very political time in our state have connected with their neighbors, and they understand that nobody's alone struggling in this state. People are struggling. The economy is still really very difficult and very challenging, and families have made huge changes and sacrifices in order to sort of keep their heads above water. And people realize there's a fight for the middle class right now. And so when we go into 2012, both the recall and the Senate race and state legislative races, people are looking for someone who's going to fight for them, not the Tea Party and not Wall Street and not these other interests, but for them.
Yeah. What was behind your decision to run for Senate? It's very exciting. You're running for Herb Kohl's seat, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, he announced his retirement in May of last year, and I had been already engaged in a lot of standing up for Wisconsin values in this very difficult year with Scott Walker and a sort of Tea Party state legislature. And, traveling around the state and listening to people just open up about their very real struggles and the big changes they were making in their lives in order to, as I said, keep their heads above water. It just struck me that, if they are looking for someone who's going to fight for them, I want to be, I am that person,
right.
And I wanted to run for Senate. And so people who want to find out more about my campaign can go to TammyBaldwin.com, but we are putting together a really amazing campaign right now, but joined by so many. There's a lot of overlap with people who just want their state back and want to protect Wisconsin values and strengthen our middle class rather than, bearing watch over or the diminishment of our middle class.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't know if you're watching these debates, but it seems to me just some spectacularly bad candidates on the Republican side this year. And it couldn't be, to me, more of a perfect storm, right? At a time when, as you say, the middle class is taking it so hard, income inequality is such a big issue, and, just looking at Mitt Romney's tax returns today, they just don't get it, do they,
right,
about paying their fair share?
Well, it's so true. And in this U.S. Senate race, let me tell you, there's sort of a parallel because there's 4 and possibly soon 5 candidates running for the Republican nomination. They're having their same big fight and a lot of the same issues, whether all the candidates will reveal their financial dealings and be, come clean and come transparent about those things. But who are they fighting for? And is there the revolving door that we're talking about with Newt Gingrich? Well, all of this is playing out in Wisconsin, too, with the Senate Republican primary. So it's quite something. It shows it to me. Democrats are unified. Progressives and independents are unified. But there's a big food fight going on the GOP side.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a great piece in the LA Times I was quoting yesterday, Congresswoman, about, the Republicans just, it seems like this year in particular, they just couldn't be more out of step on all of these issues. My producer was just telling me that I think one of the things in Romney's return is he gave as much money to the Mormon church.
Almost as much money.
Right, in taxes.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was at a time when a lot of that was going into California to take gay people's rights away. The Mormon money. And so, I was reading in these statistics, 70% of Democrats for marriage equality, 60% of independents, only 28% of Republicans. I mean, it seems to me, they're out of step on pretty much every issue of the day.
Not only the Republican candidates for president, but just look at the Tea Party-run House of Representatives, where they've manufactured political crisis after political crisis. These didn't have to be this way, going down to the wire and closing, the threat of closing government or the threat of not paying our debts or the threat of letting expire a middle-class tax cut, payroll tax cut. And there may be another manufactured crisis by the end of February because we know we have to extend it throughout the whole year. But all to protect this income inequality that we're talking about, all to protect, the very, very richest in our nation, the very wealthiest from paying their fair share. And people on the street, people in neighborhoods across Wisconsin don't get why are these folks so disconnected from their realities?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they keep saying to me. It's like, do any of your colleagues get it? Do they understand what we're going through right now? Why are they out there fighting for, the billionaires? Why aren't they understanding what we're going through? Why would they even question for a moment the extension of the middle class payroll tax cut for a year when we're struggling?
Sounds kind of thuggish to me.
Yeah, sounds thuggish.
It does, doesn't it?
What do you hope to hear in the State of the Union tonight?
Well, you know, I want to see what Obama has to say about our long-term plan, and that's what I hear is in store tonight, that sort of the theme, I think, is an America built to last. And so, you know, when I travel the state, Wisconsin is a big manufacturing state. One of the highest percentage of our economy is in manufacturing than any other state. And so when we've seen such hits in our manufacturing sector because of an unlevel playing field, because other countries are cheating, because, you know, all of these reasons, I want to see and hear the president lay out the plan for, you know, restoration of manufacturing in this country. Because I know if we have a level playing field, we're going to do just fine. But, you know, yep. When there's currency manipulation in China and other issues, we don't have a level playing field. And part of that is a focus on our energy sector, and I know that's been certainly a very controversial issue of late. I hope to hear the president talk about that. How to help our workforce that, you know, many of our manufacturing workers in particular have seen plant closures and yet, you know, need to retool their skills for the industry that's coming back to the U.S. And so these are all themes I expect he'll touch on tonight, and I'm looking forward to a really great speech.
Before you go, I know this is the good guys are winning headline, but more former staffers of Governor Scott Walker will soon face criminal corruption charges.
Uh-huh.
things seem to just not be going well. Yes.
We've just sort of been aghast at these headlines, one right after another in Wisconsin, and it's been not a lot is known because of these are investigation that is going on in relative quiet. But when the arrests come, we sure hear about it and wonder what the big story is.
Yeah, I bet. And developing, as they say in the news business. Representative Tammy Baldwin, great to talk to you. Good luck on the Senate run. I hope to be saying good morning, Senator Tammy Baldwin, soon.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, there she goes.
What a thug. Yeah.
She's thuggish. 45 minutes after the hour.
I'm appalled, frankly, at the thuggishness of that interview.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Can't you see I'm burning alive? Can't you see my baby? Got another lover. I don't know how I'm gonna survive.
Oh, chat room. The chat room says my boobs look really good today. Let me snuggle you to my bosom. Come here, chat room. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim, cop a feel. See if they're right. 1-800-STEP-12.
Do it. I dare you.
Phone number, toll free for it. He doesn't need to be invited. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Listen, you know I'm a helper person.
Helper.
I'm no longer Sue in Rockville. I'm now Sue in Rockville Incorporated.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm going to set myself up as a new tax shelter, and I'm going to allow Mittens Romney to send me $40 million. I will then go to the Cayman Islands and become Sue in Cayman's Inc., and I will carefully launder and wash his money for a small 5% fee. I mean, the Republicans are always celebrating, you know, initiative and entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
exactly.
And corporations are people, so please, Sue in Rockville, Inc. from now on.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms.
Love
Inc. Love you, Ms. Inc. Thank you. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere now, even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Check it out. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. What did you say? What does he earn a day? Well, he doesn't earn it. He collects.
He collects $56,000 a day.
For doing nothing.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm just an average guy.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney, doing
my own laundry.
Look at me.
Mitt Romney earned nearly $22 million in 2010, paid nearly $3 million in taxes at a rate of about 13%. He was a little off there. I had a feeling he was a little, around 15. Okay, 13.
Yeah, when you get up
in the Caymans, not zero on that. But
when you get up into that much money, 2% makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. 13%. Why I ought to fight a rock hide.
It's only fair.
Yeah, as you said, Chris, the turn showed that they gave $3 million in charitable donations in 2010.
Yeah,
including $1.5 million to the Mormon Church.
Yep. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not sure that should. Well,
all right. Never mind.
If it's funding political campaigns, I don't think that should be.
If it's funding campaigns that take rights away from gay people, that seems suspect. All right, particularly people that already had those rights, and then
the Mormons came in nicely from them.
Yes. All right.
It's the American way.
Okay. So we just had the awesome Representative Tammy Baldwin on from the great state of Wisconsin. That great thing from Wisconsin. Awful things from Wisconsin. Whoever did the Scott Walker anthem on the YouTube. Have you seen this? It's incredibly earnest, and it builds. You know what? You're going to well up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
When we faced an uphill climb.
Oh, God.
With a future not too bright.
What?
There was one man for the time. Who was promising to fight? He would stand up
for the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
When he tamed the status quo, and now he's standing 10 feet tall.
What?
From Ashland to Monroe.
Oh, this is stirring.
We will stand with Governor Walker.
No, not really.
Oh,
God!
Oh, God. That's really awful.
Oh, it goes on for about 4 more minutes. I couldn't
just
awful.
A fancy talker talking to you, Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You and your fancy talk.
It's almost criminal, the lack of talent on their side.
Yeah, we have the creative people on our side.
It's almost just not fair.
We will stand with Governor Walker.
You know what I mean? Like, we have Stephen Colbert. They have, I don't know, Victoria Jackson.
Yes.
It's just not fair. Oh, boy. You know who won't be standing with Governor Walker?
A book by William Faulkner.
The talent on our side knows how to rhyme things with Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Figure that out. He's never done that. The official rapper.
Like
the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show, Macaroni.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Awesome, the sexy liberal rap. The people that will not be standing behind Governor Walker, Jim, the former staffers who might be in the big house. Scott Walker's former county staffers facing a fresh round of criminal charges in the next week or two. Two of his ex-staffers have already been arrested, and now at least a couple of Walker staffers will be charged with doing extensive campaign activity while on the taxpayer's dime. At least 8 of Walker's former aides and associates have hired criminal defense lawyers.
Oh, boy.
Lawyer up, everybody!
Run on to walk in the who's cow.
Who's the who's the Terry Schiavo singer?
Randall Terry.
Oh, that's right, the anti-choice
Father,
wacko.
When I feel the it's
a little greedy.
Yeah.
He had his Casio, didn't he? Right outside the hospice.
Yeah. No, this was at her funeral.
Oh.
Or her memorial service.
Mm, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. You know what? Just by way of compare and contrast, we will play the sexy liberal rap by Macaroni next. Just by way of here's our talent, here's theirs.
Yeah.
Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, much more. Charlie Pierce as well, this hour as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel
Monday, fellow political geeks. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Speaking of funny political geeks, we'll talk to Charlie Pierce coming up in just a little bit. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We're paying compare and contrast.
Yeah.
The talent on their side, the talent on our side. God. This is the guy that did the Scott Walker anthem on YouTube.
When we faced an uphill climb with a future not too bright.
Yeah. Climb and bright.
There was one man for the time who was promising to fight. He would stand up for us all.
Mostly the Koch brothers. Yikes.
And now we stand.
Does not climb
the road. Ow! Ooh, I think my garage door just blew open.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, he almost got into Eagle Soar's territory.
Yeah.
He was almost
in. Eagle Soar.
Okay.
Like she's never soared before.
It's just not fair, the talent deficit. It really isn't. And for instance, the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show, Macaroni, with the sexy liberal rap. I'm just saying, you know.
Sexy liberal.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller Show. Sexy liberal. Stephanie Miller Show.
I'll be like Steph.
Yeah.
Can you teach me how to sexy? I'm kind of rough and my hair kind of messy. My pants are tough and my shirt kind of scruffy. I need help, mama. Please, you told me that you love me. She said, yo. A sexy liberal. She gave me 2 tickets front row to the show. Said, I love how you do your thing with Tom Fugle sang. Sparks get more booty than Booty Tang. Ooh, we man, got a thing for Aisha. Pay a little extra just to meet ya and greet ya. Stephanie Miller, man, if looks could kill a man, that'd be a bunch of dead black men and some lesbians.
What? What?
No, I don't regret it. The sexy liberal show, that's where I'm headed. Jim and Chris come in on my podcast, yo. The official rapper of the Stephanie Show.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking. I mean, come on. All our listeners, crazy talented, crazy smart.
So many wrong choices made in that
Dear
song.
God. Thanks to you, the Sexy Liberal Show, number one comedy tour in the country, number one comedy album on Amazon and on iTunes. Up next, Philly.
That's whack.
Philly, everybody.
Yes, that is whack.
Philly, February 4th. Get it. Chicago tickets going like crazy for March 3rd. I didn't even mention Phoenix, see, because that pisses people off because it's already sold out.
And hotcakes are jealous. That's how.
Albuquerque going fast as well in March. Madison already sold out. See, pissed some more people off now.
Uh-huh.
Sold out, sorry. Yep. Some folks are going to Chicago show, though, that couldn't get in Madison. Minneapolis with Aisha May. We got Boston in June, Los Angeles in July, and Seattle in September. Oh, we might have some very special guests in Philly too. It's gonna be
really
parte, yes.
And all the cream cheese you can eat.
Also, the radio show doing very well. Please and thank you. However,
please
Lou Dobbs,
thank you.
Not so much.
Oh, yeah.
Lou Dobbs' radio show
canceled.
Oh.
That was scintillating radio, almost as much as Bill Bennett's morning show. Bill Bennett's morning zoo.
The syndicator of Lou Dobbs has. They've notified affiliates that the four-year-old program coming to an end in February, citing a decision reached with Dobbs by mutual agreement.
Mm.
They mutually agreed that he blows chunks.
Well, there's only so many ways to say I hate Mexicans. That's pretty
yeah.
much
yeah. Yeah, it's that's hard to put a new spin on that every day. this is what they always say. Sources close to the program say he wants to devote more of his time to his nightly program on the Fox Business Channel that no one is also listening or watching.
Yeah.
He needs to devote more time to failing at that. He needs to stop failing at the radio show so he can devote more time to failing at the television show.
He probably had more listeners to his radio show than he has viewers to his Fox Business Channel show.
That's sad.
Oh, dear. All right. You know there's no market for liberal talk of any kind.
So here.
Yep. Rob in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Rob.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey, hi. You know, if Newt wants to motivate high school kids to do better, he should teach them how to take their high school history paper and turn it into millions of dollars for consulting fees.
Yeah, stop writing that. Stop doing history for free.
Yeah, no, only the elite, you know, think that it takes 300 people to clean a toilet. And I don't think these guys even know how to use a toilet. I think these guys soil themselves in mid-walk and then have, like, a pit crew of people come out and clean them.
Oh, I don't. We don't have the information on that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Although the mental picture of Mitt Romney soiling himself is very funny.
Oh, my.
Oh, heavens.
Oh, dear.
I soiled myself just like the dog did.
Clean up.
I better hose myself down.
Clean up in the magic underpants.
Oh.
What? Okay. Listen, Warren Buffett was asked about Romney's tax rate, saying letting millionaire investors like Romney pay such low taxes is wrong policy because he makes his income by just shoving money around.
Yep.
Yeah. For doing nothing. He collects, what is it, $56,000 a day?
A day.
How do I sign up for that? He said, I do fault the law that allows him and me earning enormous sums to pay over all federal taxes at a rate that is about half what the average person in my office pays. Not only does Romney make all of his money from investment, but his company, Bain, uses tax havens to boost their profits.
Hmm.
Oh, look, I finally found it. British members of Parliament call for the closure of Romney's Cayman Islands tax haven.
Oh, good.
Romney's income bolstered by the fact several of his investments worth millions of dollars take advantage of offshore tax havens in the Cayman Islands. These tax havens aren't just causing outrage among Americans. The Cayman Islands are a British territory. The British MP said that it's a disgrace that corporations and investors like Romney and Bain can use them to avoid paying taxes. He proposed a motion last week calling on the House of Commons to immediately close the Cayman Islands as a tax haven. For Pete's sake.
Oh, for Pete's sake. That's where I make most of my money. Jeepers.
The motion states the House is alarmed by reports that Romney's and others are using the Caymans to avoid paying the same tax rate as other U.S. citizens and concerned about the continued use of tax havens by the top 1% in the U.S. and the U.K. to avoid paying the correct tax in their own country. Fair share. Fair share.
I've got a whole bag of shh with your name on it.
Yes, I bet you do have a bag of shush. Okay. Meanwhile, Mitten's going after Gingrich last night, who is kind of, I don't know, spectacularly awful as well, just in totally different ways.
Yeah.
Romney now not just letting his surrogates ferry subtle attacks on his behalf, he's lighting into his revived rival with an intensity and bitterness he's never demonstrated before.
Wow.
According to this news piece I'm looking at. He's about to roll in his considerable campaign cash, freshly laundered from the Caymans. A 30-second spot slamming Gingrich for collecting $1.6 million working for the agency Freddie Mac. As Florida families suffered in the mortgage crisis, Mittens on the campaign trail yesterday.
The speaker was very animated about my releasing tax records. I am. I think it's an appropriate observation that people should know if there's going to be an October surprise. And in the case of the speaker, he's got some records which could represent an October surprise. We could see an October surprise a day from Newt Gingrich.
And then here's the precious part. It was him calling Gingrich a flip-flopper.
Yeah.
Which he is. He is. But it's just Mitt Romney saying it. It's just, nah, hello, kettle. Pop
right.
For you.
Exactly.
He said of Gingrich, he voted in favor of establishing the Department of Education, yet he gets in the debate and says we should get rid of the Department of Education, send all the education issues back to the states. He's opposed vehemently to the Massachusetts healthcare system, and yet a couple of years ago wrote about what a superb system it was. He's gone from pillar to post almost like a pinball machine, from item to item in a way, which is highly erratic.
He's gone from pillar to post almost like a pinball machine, from item to item. In a way which is highly erratic and does not suggest a stable, thoughtful course, which is normally associated with leadership.
From pillar to post, for Pete's sake.
Gingrich dubbed Romney's attacks such baloney. It used to be pious baloney. Now it's desperate baloney. As president, he'll be able to open a delicatessen. Oh, God. Oh, Nudie. Oh, my gosh. There's that. Oh, my God. The talent.
And he's cheesy. Have you mentioned that?
Oh,
jeez. Oh, if you've been campaigning for 6 years and begin to see it slip away, you get desperate. Nudie on the campaign.
I've been told by a variety of people that Governor Romney has been saying unkind things. I'd prefer personally not to believe it. But on the other hand, if you've been campaigning for 6 years and you begin to see it slip away, you get desperate. And when you get desperate, you say almost anything.
By the way, I love this part. Did you see Romney had said his returns will be made public today, which they were? Because that's when the New York-based accountant who manages his family's trust is available.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sure he works on his schedule.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure the accountant couldn't possibly
Oh, now I got stuff to do.
Just that sentence just dripped with condescension.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, Tuesday's good for you? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You manage like millions of my dollars and I'm running for president. Oh, is Tuesday good? Okay.
Where's the boy who wipes my butt for me? Where'd he go?
What day is he available? Oh, boy. All right. Yeah. He went on to say about Gingrich, at the time he was lobbying Republican congressman for Medicare Part D. He was working, or his entities working. Oh, entities.
Working. Watch out for Barbara Hershey.
Was Barbara Hershey working?
Working for me.
Working with any health care companies that could have benefited from that? That could represent not just evidence of lobbying, but potentially wrongful activity of some kind. Oh, for Pete's sake.
I like my entities because they don't eat much.
Yeah, Tim Pawlenty, a Romney surrogate, said the notion that he was paid $1.7 million as a historian for Freddie Mac is just BS. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
Romney also insulted Gingrich's South Carolina debating success. He said Speaker Gingrich's success in the last debate or two were because, frankly, the people who asked him questions asked him softball questions about the president or about himself, and he didn't attack the rest of us on stage. He attacked either the moderator or the president, and that's probably the best way to go. On Sunday, he said the party's not choosing a talk show host.
Oh, snap.
Oh, mittens.
I went there.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Uh-huh.
I do the neck thing, but I'm way too stiff.
Charles, he's never moved his neck. Charles in Los Angeles. Hello, Charles.
Well, hello, hello.
Hello.
Well, one way Romney could bring down a deficit is by bringing up the tax rate to what the average American pays.
And, there you go.
Keeping the money in this country. And then as for Newt, he was neutered. He can't talk about Bain anymore. That's the company that laid off 2,000 people after they gave Limbaugh a big fat contract.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Don't I know it. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Governor Walker. To the right. Stop torturing me.
Okay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. How much do I love Charlie Pierce? Let me count the ways.
Yes.
Because who writes things like this? The gob, she is rarely smacked like this. We'll find out what he was talking about after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jeanette in Santa Ana. Hello, Jeanette.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about Mitt Romney's tax returns. You know, if he was sending money, putting money away in Swiss bank accounts, over the last 10 years, I think that's big news. We were running two wars during that time. You know, he's going to be not only president, but commander-in-chief. He didn't serve. His five big strapping sons didn't serve. How is he going to ask these kids to go lay their life on the line when he was busy trying to shelter his money in Swiss bank accounts and they didn't even have armor?
Well, or the Caymans, whatever. But, I mean, you know, Jeanette, you raise a really good point that, once again, you go, this is how we got here to this deficit. Mm-hmm. It is the, you know, the Bush tax cuts for the top 1% like Mitt Romney and these ridiculous wars, right?
Right, right. And if he can't participate by serving, his sons didn't serve, you know, and then he, on top of it, is trying to shelter his money.
Yeah.
I just think that's disqualifying.
The military's for little people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He begs to differ. His sons served by...
They serve a greater cause.
Money.
Me.
Yeah.
They serve Mitt.
Yeah.
God bless Mitt. Okay. Wowee.
Some good news for the president.
Yes.
ABC News, Washington Post poll. President Obama has garnered a 53% favorability rating. Gingrich and Romney clock in at 29% and 31%.
Oh, wow.
So,
huh.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, there's one chart where, you know, the more Newt Gingrich's fortunes rise, the president's...
Yeah, rise even higher.
Well, I have a guest quote for you.
Oh.
Who said, I did not think I've lived a good enough life to see Newt Gingrich as a Republican nominee. He would be the best thing to happen to Democrats since Barry Goldwater.
I'm pretty sure that was Bonnie Frank.
Yeah. You're not playing right anymore.
Sorry.
Yes.
Who?
Throwing out my dad's running mate. Okay. I just, by the way, someone sent me pictures of my dad in Goldwater in sombreros this morning. I think that that could be the reason they lost that big right there.
Were they pandering to the Hispanic
probably,
vote?
Probably.
Me, I have a sombrero.
Who said, I despise Gingrich because of the negative effect he has had on American politics. He helped destroy bipartisan cooperation in the House and was the meanest and most destructive political figure I have ever seen. Who said that?
Frankly.
No, Barney Frank said that Newt Gingrich. Who said of the fact that Gingrich is easily offended, he is the thinnest-skinned character assassin I ever met. It just encouraged me to keep going after him. Who said that?
Dr. Frankenstein.
No. Barney Frank, Congressman Barney.
No, thank you. I just want to sleep.
Oh, my God.
Over team.
By the way, you know when Ann Coulter and Barney Frank agree on something?
Yeah, that's weird.
We've hit a hole in the time-space continuum or
whatever.
Something.
We've hit a hole?
A hole.
A hole. Okay.
Time-space.
There could be a pole in the time-space continuum. Have you ever
space
been?
Space-time.
Space-time.
Yeah, I think you really mixed that one up.
Oh,
let's just move on.
Ann Coulter, her analysis of Newt Gingrich's victory over Romney in South Carolina, she said apparently South Carolinians would rather have the emotional satisfaction of a snotty remark toward the president than to beat Obama in the fall.
Yes.
She's criticizing someone for making snotty remarks about the press. Really?
Yes. She is. Ann
Coulter. Wow. The world is cattywampus.
Wee.
She said, this is her urging moderation.
What?
She said, now you have to get people who voted for Obama, and having a candidate who calls Obama a Kenyan colonialist or socialist, that's not what you need. At the same time, with Newt Gingrich, you get the name-calling for the president. Very popular with the Tea Party crowd, not so popular with independents. And he won't put a fence on the border, but wants amnesty for illegals, and took $1.6 million from Freddie Mac, and he attacked Paul Ryan's plan on Social Security. And with Newt Gingrich, you throw out the baby and keep the bathwater. She said, Newt Gingrich is the least conservative of these candidates and the least electable. Fantastic, but the South Carolina audience loves when he yells at John King for making a perfectly legitimate opening question.
Wow.
Who are you and what have you done with Ann Coulter?
Give her back. What?
That sounds like someone we should book on this show.
What?
She's seen the writing on the wall.
Wow. All right. Little Ricky Santorum. Is he still in it?
Yeah, kind of.
He's so shiny and whiny.
The other two candidates are out there saying, oh, we can win. What gives you the impression that they have a better ability to win this election than I do? Now, Governor Romney says, I can win because I have the most money. Does anyone doubt whoever the Republican nominee will have all the money they ever need to run against Barack Obama? They will.
Okay.
And they'll still lose.
No, frothy. Yeah, exactly. So good. Spend away. By the way, did you see that? It just goes to show you once again how low the bar has gotten. Just when we thought the last campaign couldn't have gotten nastier, at least John McCain, he boned it up, but at least he had the decency to stand up to someone that called the president a Muslim as a pejorative and say he's not, well, then he said, no, he's a decent family man, which
messed it up even further.
Yeah,
but
now that was
what he was trying to say, I suppose.
Yeah, Rick Santorum said Monday he doesn't see a need to correct audience members who make misstatements because he had his own woman at the town hall that said he is an avowed Muslim. And my question is, why isn't something being done to get him out of our government?
Oh, God.
Santorum responded, believe me, I'm doing everything I can to get him out of the government.
He didn't correct.
He said, "It's not my. I love this. It's not my responsibility as a candidate to correct everybody who makes a statement I disagree with. It's not something you disagree with. It is untrue. I mean, it's like... He said, lots of people say things I disagree with at town halls. That is not something you can agree or disagree on.
Right.
Is it true or not?
It's a fact that he was born in America, is an American citizen, and is not
Muslim. At least John McCain had the decency to say, no, ma'am, he is a decent family man. And not a Muslim. Oh, what? 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You are
Stephanie Miller,
a comedian or something.
Something.
Come on, Alice.
Something. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. While looking, there's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Everybody whose gross income was $29 million last year, please honk their horn.
Or have someone do it for you.
Yeah, or have your chauffeur. Yeah. How's about that? He's a really rich guy. Who could
He's
have seen
really,
that coming?
He's a really, really rich guy. I like the theory that they closed the Swiss bank account because it might be politically unpalatable, but then they moved all the money to the game.
Sure, because that looks a lot better. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right, because, where would you rather have your money stashed? Like next to Nazi gold or drug dealer? Yeah. What a great thing.
Charlie, what, I mean, this is the crux of it, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing is they keep trying to say, oh, it's the politics of envy and UA. They're against a success. That is not the issue. It is income inequality. It is people not paying their fair share. And this is evidence of it, right?
Well, I mean, this has been laying in the weeds for him ever since he got into the race the last time. The problem is nobody's really gone out of their way to make a case about it, and the Republicans sort of did it. So now it's on the table. But I don't know if he can maintain this preposterous notion that his success is actually the template for all of us, which is basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
That he's basically he was born a poor black child and worked his way up from the streets.
Sure. Exactly.
Streets of America, by the way.
By the way, can I just say, when you turn on the media, it's much funnier than when Newt Gingrich does.
Leave the media alone. The media's having a tough month.
But it really is when you realize we've reached the height of lunacy. As you write, Chuck Todd was worried that Stephen Colbert's mischief might make a mockery out of our politics. Like, it's not the politics themselves and the Republicans involved in it.
Look, we're watching a campaign
year.
In which Newt Gingrich is being portrayed as a populist outsider.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, he literally said in this piece that you quote, that he said it's institutions he idolizes. He idolizes the Senate and the House. And you said, good God, man, think about what you're saying. Idolize the United States House, this U.S. House, the world's most luxurious terrarium for lunatics. The gob, she is rarely smacked like this. Oh, you can turn a phrase, Charlie Pierce.
Oh, thank you all very much. It was a big weekend for the extended Stephanie Miller empire, by the way. I did a little thing on MSNBC. Mr. Fugelsang was on with Ed Schultz.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard tell.
Fugelsang will be out there, fishing for trout in the heartland if we're not careful.
Sexy liberal trout. Yeah. But then you mentioned David Gregory fluffing Chris Christie. I know, you're like, what? Is this journalism? He literally said, I'm saying you'd be wonderful, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, he's talking about the vice president.
Yes.
He would be glorious.
Oh, he'd be glorious.
He would be Mitt Romney's little sparkle pony. more accurately, his Clydesdale. But
the larger point you make is the elite media that so offends Gingrich is so completely cowed at this point they don't even have to be yelled at anymore.
No, you saw the reflexive way it worked in South Carolina, where I can't do better than John Stewart did the other night of explaining why John King blew the follow-up there. And boy, was that a bad turn of phrase. But,
yes.
The liberal media, didn't make you have an affair for 6 years on the second of two chronically ill wives. That wasn't the liberal media who did that.
Yeah. No, that's when we reached the parallel universe. And you're like, oh, it's despicable asking you about your despicable. That's what's despicable.
I can't imagine anything more despicable than that. Yeah.
For instance. You right now that the carnival of charlatanism and demagoguery has moved on to Florida, and we are in the middle of another detonation of punditry on the topic of Leroy Gingrich, staff-banging former member of the House. Newt's going to be credited for, quote, revving up the base with his, quote-unquote, debating skills. Politico today called him the master of disguise, perhaps because towering bull artist didn't fit the headline space. But it's really true following the media storyline, right?
Yeah, I realize that you don't go to campaign with the candidate you want. You go to campaign with the candidate you had. To paraphrase the former Secretary of Defense, but my God, this is the best they've got.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you
know, tonight, of course, is going to be a great deal of pundit love because everybody's favorite non-candidate, little Mitch Daniels, is going to get on and give the response to the President's State of the Union.
Oh,
so
boy.
Everybody will spend a couple of days swooning and wondering why Mitch Daniels isn't in the race. The reason he isn't in the race is he's enormously unpopular at home, and he used to be George W. Bush's budget director.
There you go. Rest your case.
You say had we, one?
Really?
Well,
you can just make that up?
Things were going great till I lost the crayons.
You say as we go forward, there are several things about Gingrich's quote-unquote transformational victory in South Carolina that ought not to get lost in the scramble to create out a guerrilla populist intellectual out of a career beltway grifter. And that is, and I brought this up, I was saying what part was what in South Carolina, and you kind of break it down. Number one, religion matters. You say after Willard Romney got croaked in South Carolina, hardly anyone talked about the undeniable fact his Mormonism made him untouchable among the Bible-banging megachurchers who make up so much of the electorate. So in your opinion, I mean, that's what I kept saying.
The exit poll numbers finally came out, and you found out that a great, you know, they broke it down to people who thought religion was very, you know, religion was quote unquote very important in their choice of a candidate. Gingrich got 43% of those people.
Right.
Now that
right.
isn't, you know, that isn't about Rick Santorum's Catholicism or whatever religion it is that Ron Paul pursues, but. You know, I mean, that was about Mitt Romney being a Mormon. That's the only thing it was about.
Right. So you were saying it was overblown, the yelling at John King thing.
Newt Gingrich is a Catholic, for God's sakes. They used to hate them worse than they hated anybody else.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a Catholic come lately.
You also point out money matters.
Roberto Mazaratzinger come lately, actually.
Yeah.
You say money matters. Stop with the people power beat money power foolishness. In the old days before Citizens United deformed our politics, Newt Gingrich would not have been around to contest South Carolina in the first place. You're absolutely right. Today, Sheldon Adelson has just reported he's shelled out another $5 million after his original $5 million.
I mean, I was a little unclear in that. Sheldon Adelson could have done what he's been, would have been able to do what he's doing with or without Citizens United. That's not a direct result of Citizens United. But Citizens United has created a politics in which that is the only way you keep score now.
Right.
Yeah. Is if you've got them. I mean, that's what kept Rick Perry alive when, you know, every thinking person realized what a terrible candidate he was.
Right. Well, that's
because
what you're saying.
Money,
you can.
$17 million. That's what kept him viable. Meanwhile, poor Buddy Romer's running around with 85 cents in his pocket talking about the only issue that matters and can't get on the debate stage.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, true. And this is what's happening, right? Charlie, I mean, yeah. Romney's super PAC killed Gingrich in Iowa. Now, you know, Newt's super PAC may kill Romney in who knows, Florida or wherever, right?
What Citizens United did in the general context is create a situation in which money is all that matters now.
Right.
It is the only thing that matters. It's the way we keep score. It's the way we determine viability. Money is the only thing that matters, and that is really dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last point you make is organization matters, though. You know, on Super Tuesday, Virginia, among others, holds its primary, and Gingrich won't even be on the ballot. You say this remains a major bungle from back in the days when he was running as a national infomercial for Newt Gingrich Inc. and not an actual campaign.
That's true. This was back when he had no campaign. Now, Virginia is his home state.
Yeah.
And, you know, his previous home state, Georgia, will vote on the same day. So it might, you know, he might be able to skate through it. But it's really kind of an embarrassing thing. And you're looking right now at a Republican establishment freakout over the possibility that he'll be the nominee. I mean, they are incredibly desperate right now.
Yeah.
Because the remarkable thing to me about South Carolina, and I hadn't seen it on the ground before, but I'd only read about it. People are looking for any excuse they can get not to vote for Mitt Romney. I have never seen anything like this. There's a visceral dislike of him that gets worse the more you see him, which is the real problem. It's not that people like dislike him and then acclimate themselves to him. The more they see him, the more they don't like him.
Yeah, well,
this is two elections in a row now.
I don't know if you saw the Politico piece, but, you know, Mitt faces a perfect mess. You know, perfect resume, perfect look, perfect family, perfect roster. I mean, it literally, and yet he comes out of South Carolina with a perfect problem. And it's the thing you've been talking about since you've been covering him. Back in Massachusetts, he's just so inauthentic and awkward that
if he could find a way within himself to accept the fact that he's had a great life and he's really rich, then everything would be fine for him. But he can't seem to do that.
I'm one of
you. He's forever playing in it. He's forever trying to score in a game he can't win. He's not a street guy. Okay, he's not an up from the bootstraps guy. He should just embrace the fact, hey, look, I'm really rich. I've been really lucky. The country's been really good to me. I made a lot of dough. Now let's move on. But he can't do that.
Yeah. I love to put this one line in here. Part of Romney's difficulty in speaking off the cuff is when he's under duress, he panics and makes ill-chosen remarks. The other thing is you can't learn that, right? I mean, he just it's like a gaffe a day
if Newt Gingrich can learn how to be, a Washington outsider, anybody can learn anything. I mean, if it's that. But you're right. I mean, Romney has a real problem it's odd to say he has a real problem with colloquialism. He can't talk like a regular person. I don't know why that is. I mean, he was a salesman, for God's sakes. He should be able to.
Exactly.
I mean, he spent his entire life as a salesman. How did he ever sell anything? I'm surprised the Olympics weren't in Guam.
Charlie, what do you think is going to happen tonight?
I think you'll see the first real major speech of the president's reelection campaign. I think you'll hear a lot about income inequality. You'll hear a lot about tax fairness. I suspect you'll see a very touching tribute to Gabby Giffords, which will make everybody cry, including me.
Yeah.
I think you might hear a little bit, some of the, really kind of awful, intimations of an austerity program. But I don't think you'll see a stem winder. I'd be very surprised if he got up there and laid into the Republicans per se. I think he will talk about situations in America that need to be addressed. I think he'll be the president, capital T, capital P. I don't think he's going to sing an Al Green number, although I would personally go campaign for him if he did.
Yeah, me too. I think he should close with that.
I think you'll see a very presidential, judicious, kind of thoughtful speech, and then you'll see, Mitch Daniels come on afterwards and try to see over the podium.
But will he finally show the birth certificate?
Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com. Great stuff as usual, honey.
Thank
talk to you next
my
week.
Friends. We'll talk to you next week.
All
yay,
right,
Charlie.
All right, bye. There he goes. Oh, actually, next Tuesday is the Republican or the Florida primary.
Yes, it is.
So there you go. Oof. All right, good day for Charlie Pierce. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. I prefer not to.
Why not?
Please do it.
It's fun.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. There's John in Buffalo. Hi, John.
Steph.
Oh, it's Jan in Amherst.
Oh, Jan in Amherst.
Jan moved from Amherst to somewhere else.
I was born in Amherst, but I live in Buffalo now.
Yeah. Where in Buffalo?
I live on Richmond Avenue.
Sure, know it. Yep.
Flying Hands Music Halls on
sure.
my street.
Yep. All right.
I want to be the official historian of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why not? Why not? Do I need to pay you $1.6 million?
Whatever you can spare.
All
Steph.
Right. Okay.
I just want to point out a real hypocritical thing the Republicans do. They accuse Obama of being an appeaser and abandoning Israel, which they claim is our number one ally in the whole wide world. And then they love to crap upon our friendly European nations as socialist sissies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they do what they accuse him of what they like to do. They do it a lot. But in this instance, I believe it's the sissy European socialists who are standing and fighting next to our troops in Afghanistan.
Yes, we just realized you're not the John we thought you were.
I realized that
you're
right
not right wing John. You're sane
no,
John.
I'm John from Buffalo.
Okay.
You
threw us off with that flat A that everybody is getting in my hometown.
I was teasing you.
All right. I was like, wait a minute, you're making too much sense to be that John.
Yeah.
All right.
Another nice hypocritical thing. You got Bill O'Reilly's Killing Lincoln.
Yes,
and
right.
Gingrich's The Battle of the Crater. I guess they're both historians now.
Yeah, right. Sure.
I guess in The Battle of the Crater, Newt places Robert E. Lee trying to stop the slaughter of the black Union soldiers in the crater, which is not historically accurate. He was nowhere near the battle. And O'Reilly places Lincoln in the Oval Office 16 years before it was built.
Yeah, before there was one. Yes, exactly, John. You are the official historian. There you go. Okay. Just for knowing what a big pile of dung Bill O'Reilly's latest book is.
Yeah.
All right. It's, you know what? It's not up to the quality of his porn books, in my opinion. What?
Robo.
Robo used his product only occasionally, but tonight was special. He had two 15-year-old girls who would do anything for the drug, and he was determined to exploit the situation. Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
Wow. They get a smear.
You can't even write porn.
Yeah, that's why did he choose to put that book on tape?
Yeah. Was that before or after the unfortunate phone sex scandal, I wonder?
That was before. That was before.
All right, well, now...
Say, baby, bring that loofah into the shower.
All right, now, maybe this is why Mittens did better. Did you know he his big debate prep secret? He got a, what do you call it? He stole Michelle Bachmann's former debate coach.
For Pete's sake.
Brett O... You know what he really could use is Marcus, is what he could use. that's... Oh, for God's sakes! Pressed mom jeans! Those are so gay! Do not wear those! Stop it! I'm feeling super! Okay. Yeah, her debate coach, not I. No word on whether.
Wow.
He also stole her stylist.
Oh.
Slash husband.
Okay. We are in the final days. You are Jehovah God.
What?
What?
You have a lot of chutzpah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, this was a story I was telling Charlie Pierce about in Politico. It really sums it all up. Mitt faces a perfect mess, perfect resume, perfect looks, perfect family, perfect roster of skilled campaign operatives and blue chip endorsements. Mitt Romney has them all. He comes out of his drubbing in South Carolina with a perfect problem. These same traits taken as a whole will produce someone struggling mightily to connect with the national mood and moment, much less reassure voters that his experience and values align with their own. Yeah, he's not really connecting, as they say.
I'm just like you, except with lots more money.
The widening gap between Romney, in theory, a man who oozes plausibility as a potential candidate, guess the theory of Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And Romney, in practice, a candidate who just might be missing some kind of intangible something, is now a dominant storyline.
Accessibility, maybe?
Some sort of human
quality?
Well, this is what they're saying. This is why it's weird. This is the contrast this year. You have somebody way, way too human in Newt Gingrich. It's like the you couldn't be more polar opposite.
Newt Gingrich has every single human flaw that's possible.
Times 10 to the 10th power.
This sort of thing has come up before, and it's always been due to human error.
Maybe Mitt Romney's just going to snap and go nuts, just start drinking, having affairs left and right. America, I don't know, we'll see. Americans may prefer politicians with visible flaws, Politico writes. Outsized appetites and messy scandals like Gingrich and Bill Clinton, or at least twisting and improbable personal journeys, the past two presidents, George W. Bush, had two decades of drift, as they're referring to it.
Wow. Only two?
An excess before finding direction. Even President Obama described his own history of alienation and painful searching that preceded his political success. By these lights, human frailties are the new political norm, and the every hair and place smoothness of Romney's political persona combined with his wealth that comes off as insular and even odd. He's just odd.
I think Politico makes a great point there.
Yeah. Redemption is far better box office than perfection, said one Republican strategist. We can all relate to redemption. Very few people can look at the perfectly coiffed Romney's all good posters for oral hygiene and say, that's me. For now, some of his supporters are disoriented by the turn of events. What was supposed to be his greatest assets have been turned upside down. His wealth is evidence of greed and self-involvement rather than executive acumen. His careful demeanor is evidence of phoniness rather than maturity and discipline. You could not have two more polar opposite front runners right now. Part of Ripley, we were saying his difficulty speaking off the cuff is he tends to panic and choose ill-chosen remarks. The other persistent problem, Romney tries too hard. Part of what Charlie Pierce was just saying, Romney was profoundly impacted. You've probably heard this story, Jim. This story has been coming out more and more about his dad. George Romney was the governor of Michigan, and he was supposed to be a shoo-in for president. He said his early support of the Vietnam War was the result of brainwashing by generals.
But he didn't mean
literally
actual brainwashing.
And he was done. Done. His presidential ambitions, his political career was done.
Right.
So a current advisor said he grew up in the shadow of his dad making one slip up and forever paying for it. So he has a force field. So that's what I mean. That's why he's so afraid to say anything because he's. Oh, here's another one, though. I wonder if they'll cover this on Fox News. Mitt Romney's father palled around with Saul Alinsky.
What?
Yes. The elder Romney and Alinsky met after the Detroit riots of 1967. I think you ought to listen to Alinsky, Romney told his reluctant white friends. It seems to me that we're always talking to the same people. Maybe the time has come to hear new voices. He made Alinsky sound like a Republican, according to the advisor. Will that be on Fox tonight?
No. Oh.
Maybe Gingrich will bring that up at the next debate on Thursday.
Frankly.
Hey, so you're a Saul Alinsky type radical, just like your father and Barack Hussein. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Oscar nominations are out. Much more celebrity stack and crunchy audio goodness from the debate last night as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, is Mittens talking now?
He's
electrifying.
He's giving a pre-buttle
to the
State of the Union.
$5 trillion in just his first term. He forced through Obamacare.
Obamacare.
We didn't want.
Oh,
and we certainly can't afford. He took over auto companies and student loans. He stacked the National Labor Relations Board.
Yeah, you were against the auto rescue.
With union yes men.
Union yes men.
For his campaign contributors.
Shocking.
He saved the auto industry, you douche.
And solvency.
Unions? Who needs unions?
What?
My gosh.
My
Jeepers.
Dad, I know, because my dad made Ramblers. I just think his dad worked on
By
the
hand.
Line.
Yeah. What else? Did they make anything else besides the Rambler, American Motor Cars?
AMC, I don't know.
They own Jeep at one
time,
I think.
He was a CEO, just FYI.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of right-wing juice nozzles of the day... Doug Lamborn is the Colorado congressman who is not going to show up at the State of the Union. He had previously called the president a tar baby.
Yep.
He's not even going to give the office of the president the respect of showing up at the State of the Union. And then Tim Thomas, who is the goalie for the champion Boston
Bruins.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They are invited to the White House, as you know, is tradition, Jim, and he's not going because...
Yeah, he didn't go.
No, he didn't go because...
Political reasons.
Yes.
He says government has gotten too big.
And guess what the president did? He said really nice things about the goalie's accomplishments anyway.
What a bastard.
Check into it. All right.
I think they should trade places. The congressman.
Oh, you were thinking the congressman
should
might...
go play goalie without, you know, mouth guard or a helmet or a mask or cup. You know, see what he does.
Okay,
Jim. Ow!
All right.
Ow!
Sorry.
Ow!
Thanks, Jim.
Ow!
All right. Okay, Jim.
Ow!
Did you get that, Newsbusters? That was Jim Ward.
That was Jim Ward said that. Okay. It was just a theoretical thing. Okay. Kate, you know what, kids? Sexy liberal, everybody can play. It's, wow. Steph and Chris and Jim, my lovely and talented partner has a lot of time on her hands and is obsessed with your show. That's our favorite kind of person.
Yep.
We even came to L.A. to see you back in October. We'll be coming to Sexy Liberal in Minneapolis this coming May. They did their own promo. Who made their own promo?
Hello. Oh, hiya, Sandy. Well, yeah, I'm going to the Sexy Smellers Liberal Comedy. Yeah, I'm going. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you don't say.
I've been waiting for you to come back since you left Minneapolis.
Listen up, sexy liberals.
Mama is back. The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming back to Minneapolis,
a.k.a. the Twin Cities. I know what some of your big city, no bra wearing, hairy legged sexy livers might say about that. Oof-da.
May 12th, 2012.
Sexy liberals John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Stephanie Miller.
Live at the State Theater.
It's going to be a good time, don't you know?
Aw, Kate and Julie.
Yay!
Yes. Or no, I'm sorry, that was Kate. And Audra and Kate, her partner. Yep. Awesome. Yay! All right. Hey, speaking of awesome things, Mike and Raleigh with a little tribute to our friend Romney.
The sound of the surf. The smell of the salt air.
Complete lack of taxation for residents and businesses. Yes, the Cayman Islands has it all. Right now, Romneyocity is offering a special cruise to the Caymans. Invest $40 million or more and get complimentary drinks, free shuffleboard, and free laundering of your money. Sign up now at Romneyocity. Come to the Cayman Islands.
Come to the Caymans and hide your cash.
Offer void where prohibited, inconvenient, or embarrassing.
For Pete's sake, I'm running for president. Stop talking about the Caymans. It's ridiculous. Yes, it was Mitt Romney tax release day. Paid just about what you pay, Jim, $3 million a year.
Yeah.
Taxes. Actually, about 13%, not so much the 15. And then there's all that stuff that he pays probably, you know, zero.
Yeah, 15%
for Pete's sake. Stashed overseas.
Stashed in the Cayman Islands.
I dare say that puts him in the 1%. Mm. 1%.
Mm. Probably the 1% of the 1%, I don't think.
Yeah.
I would think, yeah. Poor Mittens.
Not bad for someone who didn't work a single day.
No, he collects, thank you, doesn't work for, doesn't make anything, collects $56,000 a day.
Yeah.
That's my contribution to society. I collect money.
All for not making a single good or providing a single service.
Oh, thank you. I provide services, my friend. Overseas.
Mitt Romney, reeling from his defeat in the South Carolina primary, now trailing in the polls in Florida, has released a new ad in Florida that goes over territory about about Newt Gingrich, like his non-lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, he's not a lobbyist.
Perfect.
For Freddie Mac and his historic ethics fine, which is punctuated by Romney's last enduring argument for Republican voters. Barack Obama and company are rooting very hard for a Gingrich win. I don't know. At this point, I think that it doesn't matter. Either one's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Romney had a disastrous week, going from a 10-point polling lead in South Carolina to a 12-point defeat. In about the same period, he has gone from leading Gingrich by as much as 26 points in Florida to now trailing him by 9 points.
I'm losing, for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sakes. Another debate Thursday, and then the primaries a week from today, Tuesday in Florida. Little Ricky Santorum, still in it? Frothy's still in it, I guess. Okay. Frothy Santorum. Rick Santorum on the campaign trail.
I'm still here.
Yesterday.
Hey. Yeah. There's absolutely no doubt that whoever the Republican nominee is will be back fully, completely, and, by the way, enthusiastically.
No.
By the base of the Republican Party, entire base.
No.
Why isn't anyone paying attention to me?
Not really. No.
I'm going to talk loud.
Chris in Minnesota.
I will.
Chris in Minnesota. Hello, Chris.
I'm giggling too much to say what I was going to say.
Okay. The man giggle. I love it. All right, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to add to your little wrinkle in the space-time continuum that's become the right-wing alternate universe. You know, now these guys, they're stuck with a choice between a guy who made his money the old-fashioned way, he inherited it, and then stashed all the millions he made by destroying hundreds of thousands of lives and whole communities, or choosing the other guy that Fred Thompson calls the epitome of the American character, a three-time cheating husband whose self-promotion led him to just basically suck on the hind teeth of government and any other fool that wants to send him some cash.
Yep.
The whole thing is just mind-boggling how destructive these forces are. And people just lap it up. Oh, yeah, he's the underdog. Oh, he's redeemed. He's redemption. Calista doesn't leave his side. I bet she goes into the men's room with him.
Yeah, I would, too.
What are you doing?
What are you doing now? Okay, Steve in Kansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. I'd just like to kind of continue what the previous caller was hitting on. You've got a guy in Willard Romney that's held more positions than Ginger Lynn. You've got a guy that the voters in South Carolina obviously thought serial adultery was switching from cornflakes to Rice Krispies.
Hey.
And then you got a guy in Santorum that doesn't have the courage to stand up to an old crone down in Florida that's telling obvious lies about the president. And that guy's supposed to be the commander-in-chief? Man, where do they get these people?
I don't know. I stopped listening after you said they got a guy in Santorum. That was, I don't know. My mind went somewhere totally different. I just went to a Santorum surge and,
I love my wife!
Okay. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy!
Hey, Mama, you've got two tragically flawed people there. None of them have a chance. But I just found this stuff out about Newt yesterday, about his history at West Georgia College.
Oh, yeah. Do tell.
Can you put your little finger on your dinger and get it ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His first year at the college, he applied to be president of the university.
Right.
He then, after the college turned him down, he applied to be chairman of the department, and they said no. He then, after 2 years there, the history department had enough of his act and fobbed him off on the geography department. At the geography department, he invented an institute, which idea was to double dip, and he would bill other colleges in Georgia for work he was being paid for at West Georgia.
He's always been a grifter.
Yeah.
He just has. Wow. Yeah.
The president of the university had sent him a letter and said, no, you're not allowed to do that. And then when he came up for tenure, university said, you know, we've seen enough of you. And on a personal note, my dad knew people who taught with him. He wasn't really well liked.
Yes. That's what I said yesterday, buddy. It's yeah. Like, will we really elect someone that deeply unpleasant? He's just, oh, especially last night, he just looked sweaty and pasty and shifty.
Yeah.
Everybody hates me, frankly, and that's a good thing.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Calista Gingrich looks a lot older than 45, which
really?
Is what she is.
Really? How catty.
Oh. You look younger than Calista, Stephanie.
Do not say that with a lot of charity in your heart. Okay.
It's because she never sleeps.
Is that what it is?
Well, yes.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
She's sleeping.
I see you.
Okay. U.S. Senator Rand Paul, as we mentioned yesterday, briefly detained at mm-hmm. the airport for refusing a full pat-down, sparking an angry response from his father, Ron Paul. Rand Paul told journalists he'd been stopped at Nashville Airport, and when he set off the body imaging machine, they just wondered what's under that,
the tribble.
Woodland creature in his head,
yeah.
The tribble on his head.
Mm-hmm.
From the TSA, they demanded he submit to a full pat-down. His father called it a sign of burgeoning American police state.
Yeah. There's something a little
he went
fishy
all,
about this.
Jesse Ventura on their ass.
Yeah.
Well,
an anti-TSA activist saying that he got detained by the TSA when all he did was ask to have an additional pat-down.
Too much of a good little Catholic girl. I just do what they tell me at the airport. It's like, I don't, whatever, I just want to get to my flight, you know? They're just doing their job. All right, hey, here's some good news. Washington State to be the 7th for gay marriage. To legalize gay marriage, Democratic Senator Mary Margaret Haugen, she says she will be the 25th vote needed to pass the same-sex marriage bill. The state house already passed it. Governor Christine Gregoire, who is awesome.
Gregoire.
Who I've hung out with.
Mm-hmm.
She's publicly announced her support for gay marriage earlier this month. Washington would become the 7th state to legalize same-sex marriage along with New York. Get Howard Dean ready. New York, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Iowa, Connecticut, Vermont, and the First District of Columbia. Thank you.
Sounds like Governor Gregoire has fully evolved on the issue of gay marriage. When will President Obama fully evolve?
Democratic senator who is voting for it said, as a legislator and as a wife and a mother who cannot deny to others the joys and benefits I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Rock on, sister.
No more sugar and spice.
That's right.
It ain't a man's
mm-mm.
World.
Mm-mm. So, yay, Washington. You know how I would celebrate? I would buy a ticket for September 29th, Mama's birthday, to the Seattle Sexy Liberal Show. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours, I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours, I could teach you,
cha.
But I have to charge.
Haven't heard from her milkshake lately. Is it still bringing all the boys to the yard?
Yeah. And then they leave very disappointed. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tom in Ohio on Nudie. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Just a couple of things. One is that, Gingrich evidently knew that the subprimes were so bad that he advised Fetty and Fanny against it, but he never made that public to anybody else.
Well, that's exactly.
With these audiences at these debates, it doesn't surprise me because last year with our congressional debate here, the Democrat had did four tours in Iraq and Afghanistan as a medevac helicopter pilot. And twice during the debate, it came up, you know, about the wars, and he made reference to his experience, and the audience moaned and groaned about it.
That, God.
And then just third thing is that we should give Mitt the benefit of the doubt that he just misspoke when he said corporations are people, my friend. I think he meant to say corporation are my friends, people.
There you go. Jim in California. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, before I have a point about the State of the Union, but first I want to say thanks a lot for getting that Governor Walker song stuck in my head.
Sorry. Apologize. Sorry. Apologize.
Hey, and does Governor Walker rhyme with Koch brother Stalker?
Hey!
Look at you. All right, what about the State of the Union?
Hey, I was part of a poll last week regarding issues for the State of the Union, and it really focused on the mortgage crisis meltdown and prosecutions, whether we'd like to see that. So I'm wondering if that's going to be a big bomb that's dropped at the State of the Union tonight about a big federal investigation
and
prosecution.
Wouldn't that be something? All right. Hey, speaking of bombs, wonk at my favorite headline.
Mm-hmm.
Santorum's cum party crashed by glitter bombers. You know, he had CUM is the name of his money bomb.
Yeah. Oh,
until someone changed it.
Until someone realized what that
is. It's Conservatives United money bomb.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, Ron Kent writing, Rick Santorum's wild weekend in South Carolina started with a fundraising campaign called Excellently the Conservatives United Money Bomb Come, and ended with a second-to-worst place finish in what was essentially a rambling plea for a robot muffin to take him in their arms and make him their running mate. In the end, the cum didn't have enough of an impact to impress South Carolina voters, and then Santorum fans unleashed a bomb of their own while the candidate was signing autographs post-primary results. Glitter! As Santorum's bodyguard bravely tried to block the hail of glitter with his bare hands, the glitter bombers screamed, "Occupy, occupy, gay rights, you're a bigot, you hate gays," and other well-deserved declarative statements, after which they were gently ushered out of the room.
Not a fan of the glitter bombing.
I know.
No,
it's pretty, though.
It's pretty,
unless it goes in your eyes.
Yeah, unless it's made of poison.
Lord, I know. I've defended.
I know.
It when Newt Gingrich said it's
in that
right.
Split second, you don't know what's coming.
Yes, you don't know what's
you.
Coming at you.
Right.
I understand. So you would be relieved if it's a unicorn that farts glitter. You'd be like, oh. Lori in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, Steph. I got an empty bottle of tequila in front of me. I watched the debates.
Oh dear.
And I played an online drinking game.
Oh boy.
And frankly, and Reagan kind of did me in.
Yeah.
I'm not cross-eyed anymore. But then I looked at those Mitt Romney tax returns, and now I got a puke.
Okay. All right, Lori. Let me let you go now. Okay.
I just think I'm gonna burp.
All right. We don't need that sound effect.
A little bit of listener theater.
Wow. Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Frankly, Reagan. Doesn't anybody remember that beautiful little pacer Auntie made that was all glass and it wasn't tinted and people literally just evaporated from the heat in the sun?
The AMC pacer was not good in the summer because it was big terrarium that was all, made of all glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Mr. Romney. All right. Thank you, Steph.
Yeah.
And
that glass tended to shatter if you got in a little bit of an accident.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
A lot of good ideas in the 70s.
Wasn't
the Pinto.
The one where they were doing a bris in the back seat of the car in the SNL sketch. I think that was the Pacer, wasn't it?
No, that was a big car. That was like a...
No, I don't think so.
74
was,
Chevy Impala.
I don't think so. I think
all I know is magically they're bringing back my first car, the Dodge Dart. Very, yes. Very exciting.
Wow.
My red Dodge Dart with no chunks.
The Dodge Dart was not known for its quality, so I have no idea why they're bringing it back.
I don't know. May go get another one. Oh, 29 minutes after the hour, we got Right Wing World, we got Celebrity Stack, we got the Academy Award nominations, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Taught me how to win.
Stephanie Miller.
Taught me how to dream. What are your dreams?
When I grow up, I'm going to do vending machine maintenance.
I'm going to be a talkative doorman with a drinking problem.
That's right. You shoot for the stars.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Well, you know, I used to believe children are the future, but I don't know.
Computer says no.
I believe the children are.
It may be the one good decision I made in my life, and that's not to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Kids say the darndest things, especially when daddy is trying to hide from the police. Yeah, kids are entirely too chatty for my taste. Troopers went to John Colby's home to serve warrants for his failure to appear for vehicle and traffic violations. His 27-year-old girlfriend told him she didn't know where Colby was, but then the couple's 4-year-old chimed in, telling police that daddy is scared and hiding in the attic.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, little tots.
So darling.
Oh, it's precious. And here's a I'm guessing a right-wing douche nozzle in training. Teen calls cops when she hears mom having sex. A Florida teenager called 911. And asked police to place her in a Christian children's center because she'd heard her mother having sex.
Ooh.
I think someone's a little too tightly wound.
Yeah, I think so. A little
high
strung.
The girl, 15, told an officer she wanted to go to a local shelter because she'd heard her mother having sex and felt disrespected by her parents' action. The mother explained she'd invited her boyfriend over sometime during the visit. Her daughter had heard them having sex and became upset. After speaking with a representative from the shelter, the teen decided she did not want to leave her home because it was almost time for school. Never mind. I'm just a little...
It's Tracy Flick.
I'm just Tracy Flick. I'm just a little tightly wound little douche nozzle. Never mind.
Christian Tracy Flick. Great.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids?
Mm-hmm.
Rush Limbaugh. Is he in a little bit of a full-on panic over the disarray of the Republican
team? Yeah.
Where's the outrage of the news media's open marriage with the Democrat Party? You talk about an open marriage. Hell, that's not a marriage. That's prostitution, for crying out loud. Where's the complaint? Who are the prostitutes in that relationship, the media or the Democrat Party? I'm just telling you, Juan Williams, John King could have asked the same questions to any other Republican, and it would have sunk them. Because none of them are willing to articulate conservatism.
Panic.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the world right now.
Not enough OxyContin in the world to contain that panic.
To be able to get through this Republican primary.
Democrats are asking Republicans questions. It's unheard of.
Steve Doocy on the Fox and Friends on News.
I think so much of it was the debate, though. They love that guy on the stage because they know if we can get Newt Gingrich right here and Barack Obama right here, Newt is going to take off the head of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
A lot of violent rhetoric these days.
No, I mean literally. Literally take off the head of the president.
I think President Obama is a better debater than Newt Gingrich. So.
Yeah. How many times can you run that play?
Yeah.
Attacking the moderator for everything.
Yeah, and Obama's cool as a cucumber, and Mitt. Newt is a hothead.
And you know what?
And he already wasn't very good yesterday when he was, you know, I have to say, Mittens, like, nailed him on all the points that were true, and he doesn't know what to say. He can't turn on the media thing. He's just, I don't frankly know why we're talking about that.
And I'll bet you every moderator from here on out will know how to deal with Newt Gingrich's tantrums about the moderator.
Boink, 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 boink.
Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends.
Won't President Obama, speaking of running, won't he be running away from his record the last 3 years?
No.
I mean, I know numbers are numbers, but I think overall in his 3 years as president that he's lost more jobs than have been gained in America.
No,
you're wrong, Gretchen.
Yeah, we lost a lot of jobs in the very beginning when he inherited Bush's economy. We were losing 700,000 a month. So
bikini
in the beginning,
graph.
Yes.
Bikini graph.
Yeah.
Yes.
They won't show that on Fox for some reason.
I know.
She is such a melting butter sculpture.
Okay, Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade on the
president. This is just going to ignite the whole class warfare thing. People are going to go, look, we know he only paid 15%.
Yep.
But really, 15. Is that fair?
That's the president's theme on, we're going to talk about that more tomorrow, State of the Union address. He's going to bring up the class warfare stuff.
Mm. Right, exactly.
Yeah, 13%, and then so the stuff in the Caymans probably.
So you hate rich people. That's your problem. I'm rich. You probably hate me.
I don't even think Doocy pays 13%.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't think anyone wants to be Mitt Romney.
No.
How much money he has. Greg Gutfeld on the Five.
The last refuge of intellectual cowards is race baiting. If you want to compare these folks like Sheila Jackson Lee to Alan West, race baiters to black conservatives win hands down. The race baiters become embarrassing to these people who should be celebrating.
Race baiters.
There should be HBO specials about Alan West.
What?
What?
Why should...
I think... Was you talking about the Juan Williams thing?
Yeah.
Wow. How do they even... I don't even know how they defend the blatant race baiting from, you know, from pretty much everybody on the, in the Republican field. Yeah.
And what does Sheila Jackson Lee have anything to do with that?
What?
She's black.
Black.
She race baits, obviously, because she's black. Black.
Being all black.
That's what they do.
She's black.
Race baiters.
Okay. All right. By the way...
Again, more panic. It's like, she's black.
She's got her all black and stuff.
I think that's because of stories like these. Tennessee Tea Party demands that references to slavery be removed from history textbooks.
Wait a minute.
It's just rude.
Slavery was a shameful part of our history. Why isn't it? Why shouldn't it be in the history books?
Right next to the part where the South won the War of Northern Aggression.
Oh.
That's vague, Tennessee. You're a peach.
Can I have my high school educational film strip music, please? In 2010, the conservatives who controlled the Texas Board of Education, remember that, caused an uproar when they made radical changes to the history curriculum for public students. The changes included referring to the country's first black president as Barack Hussein Obama and requiring students to contrast Confederate President Jefferson Davis's inaugural address with Abraham Lincoln's philosophical views. To whitewash one of the darkest practices in American history, conservatives propose the textbooks refer to the slave trade as the Atlantic Triangular Trade.
Wow.
What? But that's not what it's called.
They were trading in Atlantic Triangle.
Yeah, yes, why don't we change it to the euphemism trade?
Sure. Now,
as opposed to the Pacific Quadrangles.
Now Tennessee Tea Party members are taking their efforts a step further in trying to eliminate references to slavery in American history textbooks at all.
Wow.
Salon reports Tea Partiers who fetishize Americans' founders are demanding that students not be taught that many of them owned slaves. For a bunch of people who worship the founders and like to play dress-up American Revolutionary War, Tea Parties sure hate knowing anything remotely reality-based about the Founding Fathers.
Well, yeah. I thought the Tea Party was supposed to be about economic conservatism. Not about racism.
Here's my favorite.
Race baiter.
Hal Rounds, the group's lead spokesman during a news conference.
What you do?
He said the group wants to address, quote, an awful lot of made-up criticism about, for instance, the founders intruding on the Indians.
What?
But that's kind of...
If you call killing them and taking their land intruding.
Yeah.
Or having slaves or being hypocrites in one way or another. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just rude.
The Indians
it's just
should
rude.
Be thankful for the smallpox in the same way the black people should be thankful for the free boat ride.
Pardon me? Are we intruding? Might we kill you and take your land? Why, please and thank you.
Are they going to require that all pictures of President Obama in history books have a bone through his nose?
Yes.
Because the Tea Party loves that picture.
Yes. Kimberly Guilfoyle to close out Right Wing World on the 5.
If I did date night, I'd want Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I just want to sit next to
her. I'd like to be what makes her behind you and listen in on that one.
It shouldn't be me with Wasserman Schultz. It should be Alan West with Wasserman Schultz.
That might be fun.
I don't know. They don't get along.
They both have great hair.
But can I tell you, if you're into the Frizzilla kind of thing. Anyway, I gave up perms a long time ago.
Okay, it's more jokes about Debbie Wasserman Schultz's hair from The Mean Girl.
Yeah. They can't criticize her on her policies, so they criticize her on her looks.
Yeah, let me go on record again and say, I love her hair, and she's beautiful.
She's pretty beautiful and
smart.
That just kind of shows that Fox News is quite shallow.
A little bit, I think. Bruce in...
deeply shallow.
And that's the deep end of that gene pool over there. Bruce in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, guys. I wanted to call about your previous caller there. She should consider herself lucky. My words were Osama bin Laden and Bush, and I had to watch the whole thing sober.
Yeah. Oh, yikes.
They didn't mention those at all.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right.
Our apologies. All right. Can I have some Oscar Hollywood music something? The Academy Award nominations this morning. My view, just give it to Meryl Streep and let's go home. Seriously. And why else? It's the only movie I've seen.
Her
Iron Lady, she was awesome.
Her performance is getting great reviews. The movie, not
she's
so
just,
much.
She's just...
All right.
Best Actress nominations, it doesn't matter who else besides Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep and a bunch of other people.
Glenn Close for playing
Glenn
a man.
Glenn Close, just kidding. Glenn Close, Rooney Mara, I don't know who that is.
Rooney Mara.
Viola Davis, and Michelle Williams.
Yep.
Best Actor, somebody I cannot pronounce, George Clooney. Someone else I cannot pronounce.
Jean Valjean, or there was something.
Yes,
Dujardin, yeah.
All right, two foreign guys, George Dujardin. Clooney, Gary Oldman, and Brad Pitt.
God. You're not good at this.
I'm Gary seen anything that they're man. In. I don't have any idea.
Gary Oldman? Who is he?
Damien Bichir and Jean Dujardin.
Jean Dujardin.
Dujardin. There you go.
John of the Garden.
Yeah, that means of the Garden.
I should have just said that. John of the Garden's nominated. Mm-hmm. All right. Best Picture, War Horse. There's a lot of them now. What happened? There's like a zillion nominations now. Best Picture, yeah. War Horse, The Artist, Moneyball, The Descendants, The Tree of Life, Midnight in Paris, The Help, Hugo, and Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. It was, right. Or as Jim calls it.
I don't remember.
Extremely maudlin extremely and incredibly maudlin, manipulative.
Manipulative, yes, yeah. That's right.
I think the only one I saw of those is The Help, honestly.
I know, The Help was awesome.
The Help
so
was really good.
We're just going to say without The Help should win and Meryl Streep. We don't care about the rest.
It diminishes the whole thing if you nominate every movie that came out last year.
Yeah, no, I don't get the list. It's like, okay, everything that was in the theaters. How about that?
And you know what? The only hit among those was really The Help. So it's going to be another low-rated broadcast again because nobody's going to care about the movies that are up for Best Picture.
Exactly. I mean, even political geeks like me.
Right.
At least I've seen a couple of them.
I think the Academy is really shooting themselves in the foot.
Yep. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee Golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Well, it'll be on the middle part.
Right? Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You concentrate on that.
Yeah.
I'll be in charge of love and magic. 1-800
I'll be in charge of magic. You be in charge of love.
All right. We'll have all three tomorrow when Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks joins us.
Hey!
Update
that was
Hal
good. That was
Sparks.
Good. I got to give you mad props.
Thanks. Okay.
He does magic tricks? Wow.
Did those cancel out my horrible segues earlier?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It does. Congratulations.
I was the segue police were outside the door and I was under pressure. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. I've been doing a lot of flying with Sexy Liberal. This is not... A man faces drug charges after allegedly smoking pot on a JetBlue flight to Newark, which is good because there's lots of those free, blue potato chips to eat when you get the munchies. What better flight to...
You should call it Jet Green.
Oh, I did forget to mention one Academy Award nomination. Melissa McCarthy was nominated for... In a sink.
Yes.
And I hope she wins. She was hilarious.
Yes, she was. She was very good.
Bridesmaids, my favorite. That's one of the only movies I've seen.
Not going to see that in War Horse.
No, I saw that in Iron Lady. Lisa saw it. What's the movie?
What?
Extremely manipulative and incredibly
maudlin.
Maudlin
and extremely.
I don't get paying for stuff like that. I don't want to go.
You lived through that.
I don't want to go to Has a Sad. I don't go to the movies to Has a Sad. I'm only like happy, clappy.
Did they show Margaret Thatcher pooping in a sink?
Yes, that was my favorite scene.
Cool.
Eerily accurate. That Meryl Streep.
They're all doing it now.
That was sense memory. Pardon me?
They're all doing it now.
Every movie has to have it.
Yeah, if that gets you an Oscar nomination, then...
And now, Nelson Mandela pooping in a sink.
Yes. All right, stop.
The horse from War Horse pooped in the sink.
Well,
damn, another of my dreams.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Another of my dreams. Yet another of my dreams has died, Chris.
Uh-oh.
I know it's a daily occurrence. Aretha Franklin has called off her wedding.
Yeah.
I was almost positive I was going to get booked to be the entertainment, being that she was at the Detroit Sexy Liberal. Now what? All right. We wish her well. She said, Will and I decided we're moving a little too fast, and there were a number of things that had not been thought through thoroughly. There will be no wedding at this time.
Seal's available. So.
Well, there you go. There is that.
Yes.
What?
Heidi Klum is divorcing Seal largely because she's had it with his volcanic temper, according to TMZ.
Oh, nice.
Who knew? Kiss by Rose guy. Who knew?
Wow.
Volcanic.
Kiss from a rose.
Kiss from a rose. What?
Mm-hmm. Punch from a rose, maybe.
Well,
we don't know that.
No, he didn't say anything about that. Just temper is all. All right. I don't know what that's about.
Sometimes I just go berserk.
Tracy Morgan hospitalized at Sundance.
Update, he's out of the hospital now.
Oh, good.
From a combination of exhaustion and altitude.
The hospital said there was there was nothing in his system.
All right,
so.
Perhaps so then. All right.
He's just not used to the altitude.
Jim Ward and I apologize for the cynicism in our voices.
Park City is very, very high up. So
yes.
It's true. It's easy to overdo it there.
I'm still...
Especially if you're already...
Well, no,
stop
I'm not.
Stop it.
No one knows anything about that.
I'm still mad
that.
At him for his gay bashing thing.
Oh, but did you see last week's 30 Rock? Mm-hmm. It addressed it, and it addressed it brilliantly.
Well,
it was
that's
because
Tina Fey writes 30 Rock.
Yes, it was hysterical.
Yeah, he had when did he say that? Was it during a stand-up thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, in Nashville, I believe.
He said if his son told him he was gay, he would stab him to death.
Oh,
That seemed
a bit rash.
Not really comedy, and unwise thing to say.
Okay. But 30 Rock, they undid the damage. It was very funny.
That's because Tina Fey is the smartest,
I know that.
Funniest, greatest writer in the world. All right. Oh, God, it's another. The children are just, such the future and such imps at the same time, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Shiloh, Jolie Pitt.
Yep.
Has a new, you know what, it just seems like my friends that have kids, it's just a series of hostage demands. It's really, it's always like a hostage, all right, I'll give you the juice box, if you don't, okay. It's a lot of demands. She has a new nickname to be more like her brothers. The 5-year-old daughter of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie is known for her tomboy habits. So was I. And is now said to have asked her family to call her Shax.
Shax?
Because it's similar to the names of her siblings, Maddox, Pax, and Knox. They could be Romneys almost.
Yeah.
They all sound like Batman sound effects.
Schmarf.
Ah! Knox. Pax!
Fleeb.
Tag! A source said for a while, Shiloh had everyone in the family calling her Ben for some reason, but then she grew tired of that.
Ben?
Angelina and Brad are going along with it because they think it's cute. That may wear off.
Yeah.
Angelina has said, Shiloh likes to dress like a little dude.
Okay.
Well.
Maybe I'll bring in my kid pictures and you can see how many junior dyke pictures. Yeah. I dressed as a football player one Halloween.
That's why your brother kept tackling
you.
Did you dress as a bush?
Pardon me? Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Yes.
With actual leaves from a bush in our garden.
Dressed as a bush.
I didn't,
You didn't connect
it? I didn't get double entendres then.
You didn't connect it?
No.
Okay.
You didn't get single entendres.
No wonder there are all those little toddler pictures of you where you look so uncomfortable in a dress.
No.
Everything is answered now.
No.
You want to dress like a dude.
I've got to. You two are no help. I keep thinking of unreasonable demands to make for my sexy liberal appearances. But Rihanna had a selection of junk food flown by to Hawaii by helicopter. How about that?
What? By helicopter? From the mainland?
Yeah, that's a long... Are there no snacks in Hawaii?
There are snacks. I've been to Hawaii. There are snacks there.
They're lousy with macadamia nuts.
Macadamia nuts are go-go.
To refuel the chopper several times to get to the islands from the mainland.
Staff at the singer's private villa had to have her favorite foods flown in after Rihanna ordered 14 packets of Oreos, 4 bags of Cheesy Crisps.
What? They have all that in Hawaii.
Cheesy Puffs.
Yeah,
9 cartons of Haagen-Dazs and 6 large pizzas from room service. Oh, yikes. Oh. Someone's eating, stuffing their feelings. Hmm. Any Husky boys around here know anything about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
All right. I mentioned this story yesterday, but I think we should just, can't we change the law here? If Andy Dick, if he's in the headline, he did it. Andy Dick, suspect number one in L.A. battery case. A male tourist recently filed a battery report claiming a seemingly intoxicated.
Dick.
Is there any other state?
Is there any other state for Andy Dick? A seemingly.
And another news, Andy Dick. Enough said.
Okay. And that's the end of the story. And went nuts on him after he tried to snap the actor's photo after spotting him. He's walking around Hollywood and Highland. We're told police believe the incident was captured on tape.
Oh, boy.
Of Andy Dick being Andy Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Himself, yes.
Andy Dick, period. I think that's all we need from any future stories.
Sure. If something happens in Hollywood and Highland, it's going to be on camera.
I think so, too.
Well, it's crawling with tourists, all with video cameras. So, something is going to be captured on camera.
They're hoping George Clooney is going to come walking down the street in the tux.
Yeah.
No, he's in the south of France. No, he's in Italy.
Another celebrity news. I have got to see this. Mel Gibson DUI jail video.
Oh.
I want to see.
Wow.
We've got to
see
this.
I don't think it's been released.
No, it is not. Yeah. It's become a bone of contention in a lawsuit filed by the arresting deputy. He is suing the department, claiming he's a victim of religious discrimination. He is Jewish. He claims he's been targeted by his superiors because of his faith. He wants the jury to see a videotape of Mel Gibson in the holding cell. The video shows Mel running around the cell and at one point even trying to scale the bars like a monkey. In the middle of his anti-Semitic rant. Oh,
that's great.
I'd pay cash money.
Oh, and finally, before we go, deep-fried diva Paula Deen. She's shocked, I tell you, shocked that people are have not been supportive of her pushing fatty food for years and not revealing that she has diabetes.
Right.
Okay, yeah, you know, what's his name? What's the other chef?
Anthony Bourdain.
No, that's the best chef fight ever.
Yeah, we'll love Anthony Bourdain.
We'll talk more about that tomorrow. 58 minutes after the hour, I'd like to thank Crystal Boy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. Join us tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.